I've just been thinking out a start this morning, and I think there's only one way, and it's simply this. You know, God made the world and everything in it. Man sinned, man fell, and men tried all of their lives, all of history, trying to kind of build this relationship back with God. They couldn't do it, but God loved the world so much that he sent Jesus, his son, to fix this broken relationship so we could have fellowship with him again, and we could be back with him again and walk with him again. Jesus lived as a human being. He lived a perfect, sinless life. He always walked before God as his Father. He had fellowship with God as his Father. And as a person, like I said, he was perfect. You know, Jesus had perfect fellowship with God. The Bible says that God is light. And if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, then we'll have fellowship one with another. Basically, it was said to me once that that's like two fellas in the same ship. So what that means is, for 2014, if we want to be walking with God, have fellowship with God, then we do well to copy the perfect example, who is Jesus. Jesus said a very simple thing, which was, follow me. And so what we want to look at this morning is just a couple of ways we can follow Jesus and copy Jesus, and be more like Jesus this year, to have an awesome year. Not just for us, but for everyone else. Okay, awesome. Bless you.
Good morning. It's absolutely boiling in here, isn't it? Flipping heck, it's like a sauna. If you think it's hot in here, you want to try going in the men's? Just the men, though. Yeah, so one of the things that Jesus always did was he made sure that he got his own personal time with his Father. And if you want to succeed in your life this year, you're going to need that. You're going to need to make sure you make time for God, just for you and him. You know, it's awesome to have fellowship with one another, and we need that as well. But without that personal time with God, we will crumble and we will fall and we will be gone. We will, because only God can really sustain us. Only his presence can sustain us. And Jesus always did this continually. He went out and spent time with God and prayed and on all these things. One of the things I feel like Holy Spirit wants to do this morning is just to refresh people, first of all. Jesus was continued, like I say, with God, being refreshed, filled with the Holy Spirit. And as I was getting ready for this yesterday, I just felt like one of the things Holy Spirit wanted to do was just fill people again. You know, everyone has cars nowadays, don't they? Most of us do. And, you know, we drive all over the place to different areas and go different places and do different things. But it's now and again that we pull into a petrol station and just fill our tank. And just for that couple of minutes, while you just stood there, just filling your tank, you can't go anywhere because your car's being filled, and you just sort of, you got one hand on the car and you got one hand on the pipe, just looking pretty suave, looking around, and you just see for a couple of minutes, everyone else is doing exactly the same thing. You might be busy, you might have places to be, you might have, you know, I don't know, you have to drive hundreds of miles all over the country for different meetings and works and whatever, but if you don't stop and fill your tank from time to time, you're going nowhere. You know, Formula One cars, when they do their practice qualifying tests, they'll actually drive around with very little fuel in the tank because they can go faster. You might think that you're going fast, woof, for God and doing awesome things, and you might be awesome, well done. But make sure you pull into a Holy Spirit petrol station and fill your tank, otherwise you will burn out. When was the last time you stopped and just rested and just got filled with the Holy Spirit? What I felt was this morning that there was lights on, warning lights of you know, running on empty. All over the place, people need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I know I do, massively. And I just wonder if that's you right now. Maybe you just feel tired, drained, empty, like you're just dying, thirsty. Is that you this morning? If it is, when you can just begin to receive the Holy Spirit right now where we are, why don't we just make a little bit of room for the Holy Spirit to just be filled afresh? You don't just want to hear me about being filled. We want to be filled. So right now, where you are, if that's you, if you feel like you're running on empty, if your fuel light is on low, if your fuel light's on, you're running low, why don't you just shut your eyes and open your hands out to the Holy Spirit and just begin to receive him afresh. Come, Holy Spirit. I just pray, Father, for each and every single one of us that's drained, that's empty from Christmas or whatever, we feel like we're coming down towards a black hole. We just acknowledge we need you right now, Holy Spirit. And I just pray for each and every single one of us, especially those that know that they're running empty, that you would just fill us right now afresh. Come, Holy Spirit. We welcome you. We love you. We need you. Would you fill us right now with your presence? If you try and put anything else in a petrol car apart from petrol, it's not going to work. If you try and fill your life or find comfort in anything apart from the Holy Spirit, it's not going to work. You're going to be let down. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill that gap that only you can fill. You know, when Ananias went to the Apostle Paul, he laid his hands on him and said, I have come that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled. I'm sure he wasn't there for weeks laying his hands on him. Might have only been a few minutes. I don't know. But after that, he poof, went off and wrote a third of the New Testament or something. It doesn't take long. And what I feel the Holy Spirit wants to do right now is just give you a quick blast, a quick fill. He can do it. He absolutely loves you, and we need to be filled. This year, please make sure we take time to sit and receive from the Holy Spirit. Psalm 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know, when I was in the army, they used to train us for battle tactics, as some of you know of this story from Route 61 or whatever. One of the things that they used to do was they used to have a team that would assault an enemy position, and we would train, and a team would assault the enemy position. While that was happening, there'd be another team that was laying down covering fire onto the enemy position. While all this was going on, there was a third team. This third team was just chilling out. Seriously? This was real battle tactics. The third team was just relaxing and resting. Depending on the size and scale of the battle, they would even get the sleeping bags out and just have a little sleep. If it was massive, things were moving slowly. Or if it was short and sharp, they might just take a few minutes just to rest, rebomb their ammunition, maybe even make a brew. You can hear bombs and grenades and smokes and going off all over the place. But team members were just relaxing and even drinking a brew. He prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. It's important that we rest. We quiet down all distractions, you know. There's so many distractions in life of TV, the internet, other people and all these things. Things that are not wrong in themselves, but just distracting. And if we switch these things off, we can just relax and rest in the presence of God. We'll be able to hear him. You know, if you go to meet someone and you really got something important to tell somebody, but they're a talkative person, I just want to tell them this important thing. Can't get a word in. And sometimes we're like that with each other and with God. God, I want this, I want that. And he wants to talk to you. But sometimes, you know, you need to give him that space to just... We just need to give him that space to let him get a word in. Let him speak to us of what, you know, he knows we need to hear. And it's hard sometimes in this day and age, in this life, to make the time. You know, the Bible says in Hebrews 4:11, make every effort to enter into his rest. Make every effort. Try to rest. Try!
to rest.
It's true. It's so easy to just go along with the flow on the conveyor belt of life. All these things are just getting whisked along, whisked along, whisked along. How often do we just turn my phone off, turn the TV off, and just get on my own, close the door? Oh, how often do we do that? Please do that this year. It'll massively help you and sustain you. David Wilkinson, the guy who started and founded Teen Challenge, says in his book, The Cross and the Switchblade, "I had long ago discovered that too much running around without a quiet base of meditation produces little of value. So without this personal time with God, receiving from him, you know, reading the Bible, getting to know Jesus through the Bible and prayer, we're not going very far. We're running empty. So please stop from time to time during this year and for the rest of our lives, you know, to just be filled. Be filled. Have that personal relationship with God. It's massively important. Without that, we're going nowhere."
I thought that be-bear was me. You could have said, "No, you're talking rubbish, brother." No, never mind. You know, Jesus did that daily, didn't he? Every day. He disappeared and spent time with his dad. You know, in the Second World War, there's a famous story from Japan, the Japanese prisoner of war camp. There's a book written called The Bridge Over the River Kwai. That's the film, I'm not sure. But basically what happens is in this story, there's a bunch of men that go out to dig a trench and they're digging it all day. So, you can't imagine the toil and sweating and all of that they're going through. At the end of this day, like a seriously hard day of work, they go back to the camp. Halfway towards the camp, they stop in this clearing and the kind of Japanese sergeant decides to count the spades. So all the men throw the spades on the floor and the sergeant counts the spades. Let's just say there should have been 10 spades and there was only 9. The sergeant starts going crazy. You know, who's got the spade? Who's hidden the spade? Who's got the spade? No one comes forward and says it was me or anything else. Eventually, and very quickly, this man, full of rage, says, if I don't get this spade, all 10 of you are going to die. He counts down, and just before he gets to the end point, this man steps forward. And when stepping forward, he kind of said, I took the spade. This Japanese sergeant decides to beat this man, and he does beat him. And just using his fists and his feet, he kills this man and takes his life from him. They then pick the spades up. They all walk back to the camp. And when they get back to the camp, they recount the spades, and they find that there's exactly 10 spades there. You know, in one sense, that man died for nothing. But in another sense, he died for everybody else. He was willing to lay down his life for those other people, his brothers. And the Bible says that we should do the same. We should be willing to lay down our life for our brothers. It also says we should be willing to love each other, because that's what we're called to do. You know, this love that God talks about, that we should have one to another, brother to brother, sister to sister, in this family, isn't a love that's just affection. Oh, I love you, I love you. It's not that kind of love. It's also not a love of words. Words can be easy. You can say, I love you, and actually it doesn't mean anything. This love is a love of action. This love means that you do something to show it. You know, I've often wondered about marriage. And being married now over 10 years, I've come to realize a very simple fact, and it's this. Love isn't a feeling. Feelings quickly disappear for somebody else. After so long, when them feelings have gone, love becomes a choice. We choose to love somebody else. We show we love them by the actions we do. And so we can choose to love people. And you know what? We can also choose not to love people. So the Bible tells us to put on love, to do good to everybody, especially those who are in the household of faith. So this year, can I just challenge you all in a way, lovingly and gently, to just do what we're supposed to do as Christians and just love each other? You know, the Bible says that's how everybody's going to know that we're his disciples. And Proverbs says, hatred stirs up strife, but love covers a multitude of sins. I want to quickly look at what love is as far as the Bible says. It says love is patient and kind. Love doesn't envy or boast. It isn't arrogant or rude. It doesn't insist on its own way. It isn't irritable or resentful. It doesn't rejoice at wrongs, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears everything, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Love never ends. So you know what, this year, with each other, let's be patient, let's be kind, let's endure with each other. Let's put on this stuff. Let's put it on every day. Instead of putting on all the other wrong things, let's put on patience and forbearance and kindness and gentleness and all these good feelings towards one another. And stop being needy all the time and so easily offended all the time. You know, the truth of the matter is this. As Christians, we aren't called to be loved. That's not our calling. We're not here for everybody to love us and make us feel better all the time. We're called to be love. Do you know, the reality is this. We have love. We get everything we need from Him. We're secure in Him. We're stood on Him. We receive from Him. We're loved by Him. We're saved by Him. We've got it all. What we do then is we just give it away. We don't need anything from any other human being that way. We're called to be love. Freely we've received, freely give. Give, and the measure will be given back to you. Pressed down, running over. Do you know what that means to me is this? If we start loving each other the way we're supposed to, if we start just giving love to each other in this environment, that love will start increasing between us. And so much so that when people walk through that door, they'll feel it more than they do already. And they do. But what I'm saying is they'll feel it even more. And to, guys, to be honest, that's what I want. I want people to walk in this place and feel the love of us and the love of God. You know, I don't know if that's what you want too, but it's definitely what I want. And I just want to share a couple of ways practically how we can love each other this year. The first one is don't judge. Don't judge each other. I remember in my old church one time, I was going through a kind of time of being down and a bit dark. And I remember I'd been away from God, I suppose, if you want to call it that, for a couple of weeks. And I stood in the church one day, and as I'm stood there in this congregation, I just felt the Holy Spirit say to me, look around the room. And I looked around the room. And then I felt Him say to me, you've judged every single person in this room. And, you know, it's like, you're right, I have. And I had, you know. And then He said to me, who are you? What? And then He asked me again, who were you? And then, you know what, it hit me. I was just a scumbag in a prison cell. Who never did any good for anybody. Selfish. A waste of space. And then, you know what, He came into my life and He accepted me just as I was and loved me. And then the Lord said to me, look around this room. And as I looked around the room, He showed me something. He said, these people in this room are just like you. All of them are just trying to do the best they can for me. So stop being judgmental. So guys, give us all a break. Give each other a break. And just accept each other. We're all just trying to do the best we can. If we make mistakes, you know what? Just get over it. The second thing is compliment each other. Encourage each other. It's a biblical principle. If that means saying nice shoes, nice hair, nice smile, how you doing, you're awesome at that, and all them things, and let's do it. There's so much in the world tells us everything we're not, and the negatives and all that other stuff. There's so much that will pull us down that we listen to. Coming to this place isn't about having a holy huddle sometimes. It's about, even though those things are awesome, it's about being built back up. So when we go back out, we're filled up. So let's build each other up and do those things that make us feel good, you know. Tell me my boots are nice, because I like them. So tell me that, you know? Tell me I'm not fat and my hair still looks cool. Whatever, you know? Just encourage each other. The third one is acts of kindness. Do you know what? The Bible says, if you see someone who has a need, a brother, and you can do something about it, do it. I tell you, I'm thinking, when I thought about this point, is Umar. Where's Tony? Tony brings Umar pretty much every week to church. Umar and his son. But how many know that Umar's got a wife? A wife who's a believer, who doesn't come to church with him. She doesn't come because there's not enough room in Tony's car. So you know what, guys? If you live near North Ormsby and you've got space, then speak to Tony or something. But what I'm saying is there's simple needs that we can do for each other. There's other things. If you see one of your brothers and the shoes aren't great, you might realize they're not doing so well financially. So go and buy them some shoes and bless them and do little things we can all do for each other. Open your home. Invite people for food and tea and do little things like that. Just do acts of kindness because they matter to people. It lets people know that they matter to you. And that really matters because then they know that they matter to God as well. Guys, the fourth one is just to pray for each other. I didn't really understand the importance of this fully, if I'm honest. until the last couple of weeks, Sandy and Liz have said to me, last year, you prayed for us all the time. When we walked through the door, you were praying for us. I was just trying to love them and pray for them. I didn't understand that. I didn't understand the impact of me, if I'm quite honest. But it mattered to them. So guys, pray for each other. If someone's poorly and sick, pray for them. If they're down and heavy, pray for them. Pray for them when you heard about them, think about them, and when you see them. Just pray for them all the time because of your family. And the fifth one is just don't gossip. Don't talk about people behind the back. You know, don't pull people down when they're not around. I often say to my kids at the dinner table, if you've got nothing good to say, don't say it. Now, as a leadership team, we don't gossip about anybody. That might surprise you if you've known leadership teams in the past, but we don't. We love you. We don't want to pull you down. We want to build you up and send you out to change this nation. And we call to do that for each other too. David said, I won't allow gossip in my courts. David was a man after God's own heart. So if we're around gossip, we have the right to say, I don't want to listen to this. I have a stop it or I'm leaving. So guys, just, you know, don't gossip. The list goes on and on and on. But basically it's this, anywhere you can, just because you can, just love each other. And remember, basically, we love because he first loved us. Bless you. Thank you.
Awesome. Jesus was always going out to spend time on his own with the Father. He was always loving people. And he was also totally full of forgiveness, which is another thing that we should be, full of forgiveness. Now, you know what? Forgiveness is absolutely massive, massively important, massively hard, but vital, vital. Jesus says, if you forgive men when they sin against you, your Father in heaven will also forgive you your sins. But if you do not forgive men when they sin against you, your Father in heaven will not forgive you your sins. It's massive. It's absolutely massive. Mark 11:25 says, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them. Forgive them. You know, unforgiveness is holding something against someone. I'm sure most of you know the story about how monkeys are caught. They put fruit in a vase with a thin neck, and the monkey stretches in his thin little arm and grabs hold of the fruit. And because his hand has hold of something, it can't get out. And they just reach down and they've got the monkey. But all that monkey has to do is just let go of that piece of fruit, and he can slide his arm back out, back into freedom. You know, unforgiveness is holding things against people that we just need to let go of. So I wonder what it is that you're holding against people at the moment. What are you holding? What do you need to let go of? You know, it's the Bible says it's if you hold anything against anyone. So it doesn't have to make logical sense, forgiveness. It's whatever you're holding against somebody else. Now, I can be holding anything against anyone. I can be holding something. I can be holding something against someone who died. Someone whose life was taken away from me. It wasn't their fault. It wasn't my fault. It just happened. But there might still be something there that I'm just holding on to. Like, it doesn't have to make logical sense. Why did that person have to be taken from me? Why did they have to die? Why? You could be holding that against God. You know, in one sense, we don't need to forgive God because he's perfect. He's without sin. He's always good. So we need to forgive him for anything he's done wrong. But we still might be holding something against God that we might let go of. We need to let go of. Why did that person have to die? Or whatever it may be. Why? We need to let go. Let go of that. Let it all go. Let go of whatever we're holding. It doesn't have to make sense. It's not forgetting. You know, forgiveness doesn't always mean we have to forget as well. You know, we hear all the time, don't we? Forgive and forget. And, you know, little things from day to day we can sort of forgive and we'll naturally forget. If someone, you know, cuts you up on the road as we're driving along or something like that. Forgive them, Lord. Just let them go. Probably forget about that. No big deal. Small things. We can do that. But then there's big things. Massive things. You know, we're living in a fallen world and we get hurt. If you haven't been hurt yet in this life, you will get hurt in this life, I'm afraid to say, because it's a fallen world, and we will get hurt, and sometimes it's massive pain. Some people have been betrayed, divorced, experienced people dying, abuse, horrific things, absolutely horrific things. And, you know, we can't forget that stuff. If we're to say, oh, yeah, that just whatever, I forgot about that, we're deceiving ourselves, and that's called denial. Forgiveness isn't forgetting. If we say we forgot some massive stuff, we're just living in denial. We need to be real. There's a true story of a friend of mine from school who was, a few years ago, he got engaged to his girlfriend. That day they went out for a meal, he proposed, she became his fiancée, and as they were driving home, a car hit them, and she died. She was just taken from him. You can't forget stuff like that. You can't forget the massive things that's happened to us in our life. It's okay. We don't have to forget about it. Forgiveness isn't forgetting. It's being real and admitting that stuff's there and letting it go from that place. It's not waiting. If I have a block of cheese in my fridge and it just sits there, it's just going to get moldy. And after a few days or weeks, if it just sat there not doing anything, it's going to absolutely stink. It'll be furry and blue and moldy and everything and just horrible. If I walk around in unforgiveness, I'm going to stink. You're going to smell it. I'm going to just look horrible. I'm going to give off a horrible sense. If I'm not living in forgiveness, I'm going to stink and everyone's going to know it. That's what it's like. Don't wait. Forgiveness isn't about waiting. It's not about waiting for an apology. When Jesus was impaled to a tree by 6-inch wrought iron nails, he didn't wait until he forgave the people who put him there. He didn't wait for an apology, and neither should we. Don't wait, and we shouldn't wait until we feel ready. We might never feel ready. It's not about feelings. It's about a choice of our will. That's what it is. You know, Matthew 6, 14 and 15 says, you know, like I said, if you forgive men when they sin against you, you'll be forgiven. But if you don't, you won't. It's a choice that God gives us. Now, he wouldn't give us a choice that we can't do, that we can't make. He gives us a choice. Now, it's massively hard, some things, to forgive. But we can do it. You can do it. And if you've been hurt in an incredible way and you've said to yourself, I just can't forgive that person, then you're believing a lie of the enemy. You can forgive that person with the power of the Holy Spirit. You can. Jesus gives you the strength to do it. Yes or no. Forgive or don't. There's no third option here. And it makes it much easier to be able to forgive people if we can just realize that they're just hurt as well. The people who've hurt us in horrific ways are just hurt themselves. They're just hurt. They've probably had something happen to them very similar, or even worse, probably. They're hurt, and they're just not walking around hurting others, and we might be on the receiving end of that. And if we can understand that, that'll make it easy to forgive people as well. We can do it. It's a choice of our will. We choose to forgive. We don't pray things like, Lord, help me to forgive, or Lord, I want to forgive. We pray, Lord, with your help, I choose to forgive. I choose to forgive so-and-so for so-and-so, and be specific about it and deal with the pain that's there. It is a choice. It is keeping going. You know, Jesus, like, you know, when the disciples said to Jesus, how many times should I forgive my brother if he sins against me? 7 times? Now, how about 70 times 7? Just times without number. Keep forgiving. Live in forgiveness. And also, keep forgiving. We might need to keep forgiving something big because it's deep. Let me ask you this. If I was to set out to climb Mount Everest and I make it to base camp and then get foot rot and have to come back home, have I climbed Mount Everest? Kind of, yeah. Yeah, I've climbed Mount Everest. I've climbed on Mount Everest. I have. Have I reached the top? No. Sometimes forgiving people for the huge things that have happened to us takes time. It takes more than once. It does. We're all in our own little sand pit of unforgiveness. Some of us might have a little bit of sand there that can just be chucked out and forgiven in one go. Some of us are few. Forgive this person. Feel okay for a little bit, and then somewhere, years down the line maybe, Holy Spirit brings to mind, oh yeah, that person again. Ooh, what's that? Unforgiveness again. Another bucket of sand. And it can go on like that. Keep forgiving, keep walking out until we reach the top. You know, I believe a lot of people who say or think that they've forgiven someone of something actually haven't really from the heart. Pride says, oh yeah, I've forgiven that person. Humility says, I think I've forgiven that person. I've been through it before. But you know what? Maybe they're hearing something off God here. I'll go through forgiveness again. What harm can it do anyway? What harm can it do anyway? You know, and then to be able to take it one step further, and actually, as it says in Romans 12:14, to be able to bless those people who've persecuted you. Now, if we can do that, if we can really bless someone from our heart who's hurt us in a massive way, top of Everest, from the heart, you know, when people have hurt us, they have hooks in our heart. And if we don't forgive them, they can just pull on these strings of our heart anytime they like. Or the enemy can, actually. He can use these things and just hurt us all the time. But we need to accept the pain that's really there, to be able to take the hook out of our heart and let people go. And be able to just keep living in that. Keep walking that out. Keep being humble. You know, be open to the fact that we might not actually be at the top of our little walk of forgiveness in whatever area it is. Who do you need to forgive? Maybe you need to forgive somebody who's hurt you. Maybe you need to let God go for something you're holding against him. And maybe you need to forgive yourself. Sometimes it's the hardest one to be able to forgive yourself. But you need to be able to let yourself off as well. If we can't let ourselves off, we've just got ourselves by the throat the whole of our life. And we can't really go on like that. Jesus is always full of forgiveness. And so should we be. So this year, and for the rest of our lives, but 2014, please walk out forgiveness. You know, keep walking out.
So guys, Jesus walked in fellowship with his Father. He knew the scriptures. He stood under the scriptures. He walked in love. He walked in forgiveness. That's how Jesus walked. It's how Jesus lived. You know, when we do those things, when we walk in love, when we walk under the scriptures, we meditate, we seek God, we listen to God, we love people. It's all in preparation for one very simple thing. The one thing we're called to do, which is the last point for this morning, which is evangelism. You know, people often say, oh, evangelism's not my calling, it's not my gift, it's not what I'm called to do, I'm not wired that way. In fact, I'm not even made that way. I can't speak to anybody, never mind do anything else. And you know what, they're right. Evangelism isn't their calling. But you know what it is? It's their command. It's everybody's command. Evangelism isn't just for the few people that have confidence to speak to people, or for Martin, or for Bob Keir, or for Reinhard Bonnke, or anybody else who walks under the mantle of evangelist. Evangelism is for everyone. It's something that falls on every single one of us. It's a responsibility that God gave to every single disciple, including us, which is to go. 2,000 years ago, Jesus said, go. Go into all the world and preach the good news to every creature. You know, people can say, well, I don't feel led. I don't know if I'm called. Well, do you know what? Can I lead you this morning? And can I tell you what your calling is? It's simple. Go. It's the order that he gave. He's not changed his mind. It still stands. It's still open. We need to go. That's what God's will is for you and for your life. So you know what? When you're going to your job, when you're going to work, when you're going to the gym, when you're going to school, when you go into church, when you're going to the shops, wherever you go, that's your world. So you have permission to therefore go and preach good news to everybody in that world. Go and tell people the good news, which is what? Well, for me, it's summed up in a very simple phrase. Whatever you meet, out there, you've got an answer, and it's this. Things don't have to be that way for you. And you pray, you deliver people from the blindness, give sight to the blind, release the oppressed, set captives free, give them good news, give them what you've got, which is Jesus, pretty much. And you know, God is depending on all of us. God's depending on every single one of us to share his love with people in this nation. Sowing seeds wherever we go. The farmer sows the seed. We sow seeds of hope, of love, of joy, of blessing, of truth, of all the different things as an antidote to what the world's sowing. And we trust God that that stuff will bear fruit. Very quickly, I just want to share what I shared with the youth on Friday night. What I want the youth to start walking in this year a little bit, in how we in that way can attack the world and how we can do this stuff and our identity in it. The first one is this: love. God so loved the world, he gave his only son. That means that God loves people. So that when we go and we speak to someone and we say God loves you, we're doing what God wants us to do. We're telling them what God wants them to know. That means that God's with us. That means we have permission to do it. It means we're doing something that he says. And what does the Bible say? If we do something that he's aligned with, that's in his will, he's with us. God's with us everywhere we go. So the first thing I want to tell you this morning is you have permission to do this. Doing it in love, obviously. The second thing is this. You are righteous. Very simply, that means you are accepted by God. But it also means you're acceptable to God. You know, I often found myself in the past when I went to pray for somebody. I used to smoke, and the enemy reminded me I was a smoker, so I couldn't pray for anyone to be healed. Or if I messed up the week before, it kind of diminished the power I might have to pray for someone. And he often battered me and pulled me back down that way. But you know what, when I learned about this, and I've been on a journey of a year trying to get all this in my head, actually, it's irrelevant. I'm righteous before God. I'm in Christ and Christ in me. And that means what the Bible says is I'm stood at the right hand of God in his presence. So that when I pray for someone, I pray for someone as a son of God. Thereby, I have the power and authority from Jesus and from God to do that. What that means is it doesn't matter what stands against us. We're doing it in God's will, in God's way. And all authority is given to him and he gives it to us. And what does the Bible say? The prayer of a righteous man avails much. So the second point is this. Be confident, not in you, but in him. You've got permission and be confident. And thirdly, it's this. Don't neglect the little things. Now, a year ago, I started this journey trying to love people. I ended up praying for a guy in a wheelchair in Aldi and nothing happened. I was beating myself up for a long time because I wanted all the big stuff to happen. And it didn't. But what I came to realize after a year of kind of beating myself up, if I'm honest, is that I was missing the little stuff. You know, I went out last week or 2 weeks ago and I was walking down these stairs in Billingham. And as I was walking down some stairs, this old man was kind of coming up them really, really slowly with his wife. And trying to be love, I said, you know, can I help you up, mate? And he went, no, I'm all right. He wasn't all right. He was knackered, right? But then he got to and he comes past me on the middle bit. And he's like, as I went down the stairs and he stood going up. And as I watched him, he really struggled to even push his leg up to get up that first step. And I put my hand on his back and I just said, Lord Jesus, please give this man strength to get up these steps. That was it. His wife looked at me, kind of smiled a little bit, but they walked off. And what does that mean? Well, do you know what? In one sense, it doesn't mean anything to me because nothing happened that much. But what does it mean for that man later on at night? I don't know what he's going to think. I don't know. All I know is that I just loved him and did what I could in that moment. In different times, in different moments, you can do anything. I went to KFC with Mark on Thursday. There was a girl at the counter. She was bent down, stressed. It was busy. You look at the name badge. They're often wearing them. Names are important to people. So I said, oh, Kylie. Is that after Kylie the singer? Talked to her. She looked up, didn't she? She smiled. She was buzzing. Why? Because you just took attention to give her a bit of time and focus on her. This stuff's easy. It's just simple stuff. We make it so difficult. And guys, listen, the more the little stuff we do, you'll get more confidence. And I believe God will open the bigger stuff too, just in the process of doing it. So, you know, the reality is this. It's not about us. It's not about us seeing miracles and all of that stuff. It's not even about us making everyone a repentance in that instance. It's about him. It's about God loving them and he cares for them and he died for them. And he wants them to know it. And it's about them. It's about them being like I was, just in a different way. In prisons in their own way, lost in their own way, broken in their own way. And they all need this love of God. I want them to be where we are, saved and sorted and restored and all of it. We've got such a gift to give people. We shouldn't be afraid of it. The world needs it. You know, lastly, to finish, I'm going to show a video. But before that, I read a thing at Stuart's house the other week. His brother had written. And his brother had written this comment. And comments often strike me. And I read this comment. It was one of them I'll never forget. And it's this. It just helped me. He said, Jesus didn't come to save the whole world. Jesus came to give the world a choice. Guys, when we go and we just be evangelists out there, or in here, that's all we're doing. We're just giving him the choice.
I just wanted to gather that, you know, what's been said this morning and shared, and you know what you've just been watching there. I don't know what that makes you feel like. You know, you might feel convicted. You know, you might think, what would I do? You know, if I was in that ship, would I be one of those who would stay on the ship and go to church, or would I be one of those who would go out and to rescue those out there? And you might feel convicted to go out. Or you might feel condemned and not being able to go, you know. And in one sense, you know, when you're a Christian and you have the Holy Spirit, we often do feel convicted to go out and to do all those things, to love people, to reach out and do what we can. But actually, sometimes we're held back from doing that, you know. We might stand here and say, yeah, I'm going to go and do that. But actually, there's things within us that hold us back and stop us from doing those things that we would really want to do. So like Paul's talking about going out there and reaching out in love, but actually Andy's talking about those possible things that can hold us back, you know, the things that can prevent us from doing what we would like to do for God. And, you know, a few people have been forward today about sharing different things, and funnily enough, about different vans. And I was just thinking about this week. When I was driving, I saw two vans, funnily enough. You know, it's one of those things I noticed this week. And I just feel that the two vans I saw this week, one was on the side of one of these vans, it said, chimney sweep. And, you know, I said to the children, oh, look, there's a van, it says chimney sweep. And they said, do you still have chimney sweeps, you know, in this day and age? And I said, oh, yeah. And we were talking about the old chimney sweeps and how... They said, oh, and do the children have to still go up those chimneys? And I said, no, it's very different now. But I just, thinking about it, you know, like when you have a chimney years ago, you know, they have a chimney that's blocked with all the soot and all the dirt. And how years ago, they used to send the children up the chimney sweep, you know, up the chimney to sweep the chimneys, you know. And often children used to die up there. And I was thinking about that and thinking how actually... it's like Jesus has been the chimney sweep, you know. In a sense, he's gone up there and he's unblocked everything and made a way, and actually did die to do that. And now, thinking about today and how we do still need that chimney sweep in our own lives, and how, you know, today we don't actually have to go up there, but something has to be done. You know, they have these sticks and these brushes and they go up the chimney and clear the chimney, clear the way and make it clear for the fire to burn, you know, freely. And often for us, we might have that blockage somewhere. And the other van I saw was clear vision. And that's something that can happen when there's a clear way, you know, for ourselves. You might, like those people on that ship, you know, they didn't have a clear vision. Often those people on that ship, they were prevented from seeing the reality of what was going on outside because they were distracted, you know, maybe because they were afraid. Or maybe because, like you say, I didn't want to go out in that bad weather. Or they just, you know, didn't want to be there. Or any of those things. And but actually, if they'd gone out and seen it, they might have seen, you know, they might have had the courage to go out and rescue. But they just didn't have the clear vision. And I just feel that today, you know, like Andy was talking about being stuck in that pit of that sand and about forgiveness. And I just want to give people opportunity, you know. I just want to pray today now. For people who might feel that they want to go out, they want to love and do those things, but they're prevented, you know, from something inside of them. And just to give opportunity today for that chimney sweep. And we're the ones who have to take, you know, that brush ourselves, you know, to clean our own chimneys, if you like. And, you know, like Andy was saying about when you hold something against somebody, you're actually turned towards that person, if you like, and you might be holding that against them, and it can be a distraction from where you should be looking and where you should be going. So if you don't mind, if we can all just stand, I'm just going to pray. Father, we just thank you for the words that's been shared today, Lord, and for our call and our command, actually, to love each other and to love, Lord, and to forgive, all of these things you ask us to do, Father. And we thank you, Father, that you ask us to go out, Lord, and to reach out and save the lost. But, Father, we just come to you today, Lord, each one of us, and we're just human. You know we're human. And we come to you in reality, Lord, and where we're really at. And even though in our hearts, each one of us might want to say, we want to go out there, we want to love, we want to help, we want to do all those things. But actually, there's things that distract us, that hold us back and that prevent us. And Father, I pray now, as we reach out to you, pray that we'll open our hearts and our hands to you now, Lord. And as we reach out to you, Father, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will just show each one of us where we need just to allow our lives to be clean by you, and where we make that choice, Lord, to forgive, Lord, whether it be something small. I pray, Holy Spirit, if there's anything holding us back, anything preventing us from looking to you, and any unforgiveness in our hearts, Lord, anything that might be little or that might be big from the past. And we just pray, Father, for each one today. I pray, Father, that we would, in our own hearts, say again, I choose to forgive, Lord. I choose to forgive what seems a little thing, or I choose to forgive that big thing once again that is holding us back. So just pray in the name of Jesus that each one of us will just do that in our own hearts. Those people, those situations, circumstances, and even ourselves, and even you, Father, that we will just let go of those things in our own choice and will, and take that chimney sweep once again and just to clean that chimney, to that all that soot and dust just be free and fall down. In the name of Jesus, we just pray, as we choose to forgive, that you will take it, Lord, and that we'll be able to step out of that sand hole and that we'll be able to climb up Mount Everest. Pray, Father, that you'll give courage, Lord, today in the name of Jesus, and lift off every person here, Lord, everything that would hold them back. And I pray that you'll give people courage, Lord, to take that step, to let go, to forgive, and to step out of that sand hole and to move on, Father. And I pray, Holy Spirit, as we choose to do that, you, Holy Spirit, will open our eyes and give us that clear vision to where you want us to go, Lord, and that you will give us confidence and strength and power, Lord, each day to speak and to love and to do all that you ask us to do, one person at a time, Lord, as we meet them. Just bless each person today, Father, I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.